Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you fill this space this morning. I pray that your words come out of Andrew's mouth with the Holy Spirit's guidance. I pray that we can just be still and receive the word today. I have great faith in Andrew, and I know you do, God. So God bless him and this message.
Amen. God bless you. Hey, thanks for sharing. That was really rich, like rich. The Bible says deep calls unto deep. It's okay to go deep. It's okay to go deep. I encourage you to go deep. Good number of years ago, a young guy was coming into my workspace. There's no one here, just if you're going to get paranoid. And I was just being myself, you know, like I like people, just building connection. And this guy said, and we're going to be working together for a few months at least. And he said, I don't really need any more friends. Okay. Not sure I was really offering. I was just being friendly. But if you keep going like that, you probably, your wish will come true. And I realized that his heart was closed to connection with me. You ever experienced that? You just come, you may not even have your heart open fully. You just open it a little bit. And the other person just goes like, nothing there. A few weeks ago, we had Tim Stewart here from Impact Nations, and then we had the blessing at Officers Fellowship, where they take all the officers away to refuel them for a week of the teaching of his dad, Steve Stewart, and he articulated something that was very helpful for me, because he's talking about he loves to be like a spiritual dad, and while he's looking, that's kind of just a spiritual mentor in a way, but it's with a good, healthy connection, you know, like a spiritual dad, spiritual sons. He goes, when I'm, you know, just, I open my heart, is what he said. And I know I have a spiritual son in the making when the son opens their heart back. Oh, I thought, that's it. That's it. And so this morning I want to talk about when I open my heart to the Father. Because the children of Israel, God revealed himself in a lot of different ways. But they didn't, I'm not sure they really fully got that God was their Father. And when I talk about Father today, I'm talking about the perfect Father. You know, I always wanted to be the perfect Father. I think I'm okay. I give it my best crack. But I'm talking about the perfect Father. Okay? He does everything a father's supposed to do. He provides. He's present. He's there. He protects. And we'll talk a bit around that. For connection to happen, we need to open our heart to God as he has opened his to us. And this morning, you know, we probably might get to the how. I struggle not to say the how because, you know, we want to go, yeah, that's great, but how? But I really want to emphasize the why. Why would you want to see God as Father? And like, you know, when the children of Israel went to Mount Sinai, like the Lord actually invited them. And they said, no, no, you go, Moses. How true is that? Hey, well, ring the pastor, he'll do it. No, you do it. You do it. God wants you to come close to him. Not just me, not just Melissa, not just a few leaders in the church. God wants you to come close to him. He invites everyone. People say, oh, the church is exclusive. No, it's not. Are you kidding me? Have you read the book? Everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome. Jesus looked over Jerusalem after 3 years of ministry and he wept and his heart broke because he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. He was willing. So today, if you don't feel a connection with God, it's time you took some responsibility for that, friends. And I'd say one of the reasons is because your heart's closed. And I get it, right? Because life's hard. just like Jess was sharing, like Emma was sharing. Life's hard. And the danger is when life is hard that we shut our heart off. We build walls around our heart. And I don't even think we build them quickly. We just tend to build them one brick at a time. We get hurt, another brick. We get hurt, another brick. But the problem with the wall, once it's complete, is it shuts out the love of perfect love of the Father. And so that's why I believe we need to knock the walls down and build healthy boundaries, which is a gate, you know, a fence, a temporary fence with a gate. So we can move it in and out depending on the other person's behavior. Open it to some people, shut it to others. But definitely open it to God. And so this morning I want to talk about four things we get from God if we open our hearts to Him. When I open my heart to the Father, I find security. Who could do with some more security? Jesus said, my Father who is, and this is where Jesus was talking about the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I'll look after my sheep. But he goes on in verse 29 of that chapter. He says, my Father who has given them to me, his sheep, his followers, is greater than all. Say all. What does all mean? All. God is greater than all. No one, next time you're feeling insecure, especially in your faith, look up this verse and it says, no one can snatch me out of the Father's hand. You see, sometimes we just make the devil too big. The devil's actually, someone said this once, I forget who it was, but when we get to heaven and we see, you know, God wins the final victory, he's already won the victory, but he claims the final victory, we'll be surprised how small the devil is. Please don't give him too much credit. Our God is big. And if he says, you come into relationship with me and I will keep you safe, then he has the power to keep you safe. God's sheep find safety in both the hand of the good shepherd and God the Father. It's comforting to know that the hands that created the world hold on to me. You ever thought about that? The hands that created the world hold us. More powerful than all the united energies of men and demons, he who loves God must be happy. And he who fears God need fear nothing on this side of eternity. Isn't that a challenge? If we trust God, we don't need to fear anything. I'll never forget, as a little kid, and I was little, my grandfather was a big burly man. And we used to go out to his property on Sunday afternoons for afternoon tea, and we sometimes wander around his hobby farm. And I remember being little and sitting on my grandfather's shoulders and just feeling like I could rule the world. See, that's the feeling a healthy father is supposed to give us, is that feeling of safety and protection. My dad was a watchmaker and he worked from home, so he was always physically present. I can't ever remember being scared when I was at home when Dad was around. Isn't that funny? Just don't remember being scared. Same with my dad, I think, wanted to be a race car driver. Anyway, that's how he drove sometimes. And we used to go, sorry, Dad, they watch online every week. Sorry for telling your stories. We used to go out to visit my auntie at Wandai, just kind of in the west of Queensland there, Wandai, Mergen. They had a farm out there. And Dad used to like to try and get the second carby opened up on the, you know, if you put the foot down. But I never felt unsafe with my dad driving. Because I knew that if he took risks, I always calculated. I always felt safe. And you know what, I find the same as when I slow myself like this morning and we enter into worship. You know that chorus, it's an old chorus that we sometimes hear. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. You know when you've come into the presence of the Father? Is when suddenly peace comes. When suddenly the things you're worrying about don't worry you anymore. And you know you're safe. It's that sense of safety and that sense of security that I believe we actually can't find in anything else except God. And particularly God the Father, understanding who he is, how powerful he is. God the Father is all powerful and he can keep me safe when I place my security in him. The more I know him, the more I trust him. The more I trust him, the less I fear. In the love of the Father, I can find security. Number two, when I open my heart to the Father, I find my home. I love this. John 14:2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, this is Jesus speaking, that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. That phrase, you can leave the verse up there if you like. Many rooms can be, some translations say many mansions. You want a mansion? Wonder what they'll look like. I'm not sure we've got a clean in heaven, darling. Can't read it anywhere in the Word where I'm going to be cleaning in heaven. Then we're going to be worshiping, praising, serving, all kinds of stuff. But I'm not sure cleaning. There'll be no mess there. Praise the Lord. Hey, not even in our own lives. Praise Jesus. In the light of the ancient Greek, which the New Testament was written in, mansions is better translated dwelling places and can be interpreted, I love this, a place to stay. You ever been looking for a place to stay? I was never worried, and this was a real blessing from my family. My dad had a real commitment to buy a house and have that security of owning his own house. And it was a real blessing for me, because as I've become a Salvation Army officer and seen, especially in our society today, like housing security is not great. But you know what? As a kid, I never feared about being homeless. Because I think Dad used to reassure himself sometimes when times were tough. He'd say, well, at least we own the house. Yeah, that's good. I knew I always had a place to stay. Yeah, and it's not the house, it's the people. My mum and dad still live in their house, but I love to go there because it was my home, not because of the house, but because of the people. And I think it's the same with God. What's heaven? Well, you know what? It's where God is. So, you know, if we felt a touch from God this morning in worship, it's like that 24/7. Actually, 24/7's gone out the window. It's like that for all eternity. That sense of peace and joy. I love, and this message was inspired by Derek Prince. He did you can look it up on his podcast, Knowing God as Father. And he's been passed probably about since 2003, I think it is. And he talked about himself knowing God as God, but then he had this revelation of God as Father. And he thought of heaven as heaven. Great, I get to go to heaven. But he never thought of heaven as home. And when he got this revelation, he said to his wife, when I pass away, if you do a tombstone for me, and I don't really care if you do or you don't, but if you do a tombstone for me, can you just simply put on it, gone home? Don't you just got to love Google, don't you? I thought, I wonder if he got his wish come true. Can you show this picture? How good is that? He's just gone home. Friends, I just want to go home. Hey? If you're not ready to go home, you don't know the Father well enough yet. It grieved my spirit when I was doing a Bible study on Revelation. That always stirs things up, doesn't it? Years ago. And one of the ladies, I was saying, well, what if Jesus came back today? And she said, well, I'm not ready. I still got things to do. She was saved. I think she would have made it, but she wasn't ready. And I realized she doesn't understand how good heaven is if she wants to stay. Paul said, I'd rather go and be with the Lord, but I'm staying for your benefit. Friends, we've got to get a picture of what home's really like. If you've ever had a taste of home, and sometimes people get a taste of home here, praise the Lord. I think it's just a touch of the kingdom in heaven coming to earth. When we come here and feel at home, it's a taste. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And if you've ever had that taste of home, friends, that's what heaven's going to feel like. It's going to feel like I'm finally home. I can finally rest. I can finally stop striving. Sounds good, hey? When God becomes Father, heaven becomes home. Number three, when I open my heart to the Father, I find my identity. You would have heard me say this before. I'm just going to flesh it out a little bit. Matthew 3:17, when Jesus was being baptized, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." The phrase, "This is my Son," was the Father giving his Son. He identified and validated who he was. I just want to be sensitive how I say this morning. But I do believe with all my heart that one of the lies that the enemy has given our society, one of the things the enemy has attacked in recent generations, is to try to create fatherless generations. Because fathers have a mantle, right? This is my son. This is my daughter, with whom I'm well pleased. It's the anointing, I believe, of a father to help their children get identity and value in who they are and come to know who they are. Now, praise God, many of you know one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Joel 2:25, where it says, "He restores the years the locusts have eaten away." And I've seen him do it time and time again. And this is how he does it, right? If you didn't have a dad that validated you or spoke into your life or spoke into your identity, then just do what I did. Well, I had one. I think I'm funny, right? Some of you know that. I think I'm funny. My wife doesn't think I'm... Well, you're laughing. You're laughing at her. She thinks she's funny too. I actually think I'm funny, right? And when I reflected on that, that's one of the things my dad used to validate. Well, he's funny, isn't he? Yeah. Oh, okay, am I? Does he see how that works, though? The power of receiving a word from someone. And my mind, I can give you plenty of examples, but there's just a couple here. And this is how easily God can do it, right? You can be a stranger in a strange church, and God can still validate you. Because he is the perfect father. And I was in a church years ago, freaking out about whether Salvation Army was going to send me when I finished training college. And me and Melissa went to my mate's church. It was just a new church meeting in a school hall. And in the middle of the guy's sermon, wasn't it? This guy just looks at me and Melissa. And he looks at me and he goes, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." It reassured me. It validated me. I had a friend who was only 15 years old when we were in Brisbane. I was grieved about the state of a particular church meeting. And she just turned to me really matter-of-factly and said, "You've got a heart like David." I received that word. How many words has God tried to give you and you may not have received them? See, sometimes they're quite subtle. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. Do you realize when someone gives you a word of encouragement, you have a choice whether to open your heart and receive life or keep your heart closed and miss an opportunity to receive the validation and sense of identity that God's trying to give you? I've learned to receive it. I still have any of you who were here when I turned 50, wasn't that long ago. Stop laughing. See, I'm funny. I've kept all my cards. And I'm trying to sort out some of my stuff at home because I'm not good at that. And I just started reading through some of them. And was really blessed to read a card from Sandy and Guy. And particularly what Guy wrote. Because Guy's a guy of few words. And I read that. I wasn't trying to be funny then, seriously. He's a great guy with a good heart. That's my funny line. But I read those words again, Guy, and they spoke to my heart just the other day. Now, I'm sure they spoke to my heart back when I turned 50. But you see, friends, the Lord is, his word is living and powerful, and when he speaks, it brings life. And you know what? Be disappointed if you want, but sometimes he speaks through people. And sometimes he wants to speak life to you through people. And if we just open our hearts to them, we can receive life. We can receive a sense of who we are. God's trying to reinforce and validate, encourage you in who you are. And all we need to do is have an ear for it. Have a heart open for it. And the last one, when I open my heart to the Father, I find motivation. I love this one. What motivates you? John 8:29 says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." This is just a funny illustration. At the busy dental office, at the dentist, one patient was always late. It wasn't me, just if you're wondering. Once they called, this patient called the dentist to confirm an appointment. He said, "I'll be about 15 minutes late. That won't be a problem, will it?" "No," he was told by the receptionist, "we just won't have time to give you the anesthetic." He arrived early. What motivates us? What motivates us? Well, I'll tell you what motivated Jesus. It says there, if you want to put the verse back up, Jesus said, "I always do what pleases him." How did Jesus pull that off? I think it's a big statement. Jesus always did what pleased the Father. Let's dig a little deeper. Jesus was tempted in every way, the Bible says, just as we are, but without sin. So we must believe that he had the choice to not please the Father. So how did he do it? I believe it was he was motivated by the Father's love. He loved the Father. He knew the Father's love. And so he wanted to please him. When we love someone, we want to please them. It's normal response to love. When we know their love for us, we want to please them. What a great measure. So, you know, you often say, "What's God's will for me?" Well, I'll tell you. It's not that hard, right? You want to know God's will for your life? Next time you're stuck in traffic and you're running late and you're getting frustrated, God's will for you is to please the Father. What a great, we used to have those little bracelets, you know, "What would Jesus do?" Well, let's make one that says, "How do I please the Father in everything I do today?" It's not so much about what we do, but sometimes how we do it. When I'm treated unfairly or judged unfairly, what's God's will? To please the Father. To release forgiveness. And we could go on and on and on. But it's just a great guide. What's God's will for my life? To please the Father. What was Jesus' will for his life? To please the Father. Why would we want to please the Father? Because he loves us. Why do I want to please Melissa? Because it's really bad if I don't, it gets ugly. No, because I... Because she loves me, right? I love her. We want to dwell together. I love God. He loves me. We want to dwell together. So why wouldn't I want to please him? I don't want to offend him. I offend Melissa sometimes, but I don't go out of my way to do it, just if you want to know. Oh, maybe sometimes, because I'm not perfect. More antagonize is probably the right word, isn't it? The story is told of a king who was in his throne room holding a council with his advisors, noblemen, and high ministers of state. Suddenly there's a bang and clatter at the door of the throne room. All eyes turned as the door burst open. A young boy ran into the room. One of the king's royal guardsmen tried to stop the boy. "Hold there, lad," he shouted. "Don't you know you're disturbing the council of the king?" The young boy responded, "He's your king, but he's my daddy." And the boy bounced into the arms of his father, the king. I believe with all my heart that God is king. But what gives me security, identity, motivation, and a sense of home is knowing him as father. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he says it himself. His main job when he came was to show us the Father. And if you don't know the Father this morning, it's as easy as opening our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, "Lord Jesus, I'm getting a sense that you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins, that you rose again, And that if I ask you to forgive me for my willful wrongdoing, another word for sin, willfully doing my own thing my way, if I ask you to forgive me for that, that you will forgive me and you will give me a relationship with you and the Father. And we'll get to experience security like we've never seen before. We'll get to sense a sense of who we are. See, God knows who you are. He wants to let you know who you are if you don't already know. He has a purpose for our lives. It's been a very long time, friends, since I lived without purpose. A very long time. Because I found Jesus and he introduced me to the Father and the Father showed me the purpose for my life. Why I'm on the planet. And it's been rich and it's been full. And honestly, if I went home tonight, I'd go home happy. Be worried about my kids and my wife. But I'd go home full. I'd go home full and fulfilled. Invite the worship team to come up. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way. So he's the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Father's the destination. A relationship with the Father. And this morning I just want, I'm happy for you to come forward for prayer if you'd like to. But I just want to pray for people. I'm very aware of the time. You know what? Because we've had a couple of fatherless generations, sometimes we get orphan-hearted. We're not meant to live. God said it himself. That would have been handy back when I was cracking jokes. The Father, that's right. The Father said, it's not good for man to live alone, right? It's not good for people to live alone. So we're actually not meant to live with feelings of loneliness and abandonment. That is not God's will for your life, to live with feelings of loneliness and abandonment. So today I want to invite you to come out of that if you've been feeling loneliness and abandonment and come into the love of the Father. This song says, I never walked alone. Nate got it right when he said we might have felt alone. We might have felt abandoned, but the truth is we never were. We never were. We just didn't know the Father yet. And today, if you want to come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that he can shift those feelings of loneliness and abandonment, right? And as we walk with him, we don't have to feel alone. It's a long time since I felt lonely. God is healing my sense of abandonment that I get from time to time for no rational reason. It just seems to show up. But God heals that. This morning, I want to invite you to stand. If you'd like to come and kneel and pray, you feel like it's... Does anyone care about the time? You're allowed to leave whenever you want. You know that. You don't have to stay. Marty, do you want to get some prayer on? Come on, Dawn. Come and stand at the front. Mother Dawn. She's beautiful. Mother Val. Come on, Mother Val. There's nothing worse than a feeling of abandonment and loneliness. But there's nothing worse than knowing that God can take it away and you haven't asked him to yet. Nothing worse than longing for connection than to know that the connection's available. You just haven't reached out for it yet. So if you want to come forward, these guys are more than happy to pray for you, hug on you. We do hugs, you know, so you can hug me if you like, get permission if you need that. But let's just allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. May this song become true witness for our spirits today as we sing it, as we worship him, as we receive his love for us today in Jesus' name. Let's go.